Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S.? With more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., they have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce 4 uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show. You know, one of the craziest stories that I've seen today, and we'll get into it now, from Postmillennial, Biden Department of Homeland Security paid $40 million on anti-terrorism program comparing Turning Point USA heritage PragerU to Nazis using Antifa propaganda. It has never been more clear that there is a culture war and they are targeting you. The pyramid of far-right radicalization. Look at this. They put Breitbart next to the Proud Boys, Patriot Prayer, 3%ers, Quillette. I love that. Quillette. Dude, is in that category.
I have to do another conspiracy pyramid review.
Well, okay.
It has this to do with Biden, this, though. This is real.
Yes. This is the DHS. This is the federal government using taxpayer funds to target right-wing organizations
like Fox News.
Welcome to modern America, I guess.
That's hilarious.
This is why Trump passed away.
Their heritage found it. This is exactly why Trump passed
away.
I'm sorry. This is exactly why.
Yeah, because I'm...
So basically what they're saying is, and even if you look at the far right corner, that's the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the first year.
That's the Republican Party.
Yeah. That's my party that I'm a Republican.
You Nazi.
That's me.
You're a fourth tier extremist.
So it's a Nazi. And what bothers me about this is a really interesting fact, and this is combat veterans in Congress. There are 38 congressmen and women from the state of Texas, the second most of any other place in the entire country. 38. 11 of them are veterans. Of the 11, they're all Republicans.
James, you got to push that microphone away, buddy. When you're eating.
You're making very solid points.
I'm just laughing really hard. I know, right? And he's eating chocolate over here. No.
Look, this is really uncensored. I'm sorry. No, come back.
He already had his rant. He's done.
I know, you're right. I'm sorry. I have low blood sugar right now.
It's totally fine.
Because I am lost in this pyramid. I'm lost in the idea that Fox News is just a larger, less radical version of the Nazi Party.
Unbelievable.
I like how they have the Keck flag. Do you guys see it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's right next to Nazi.
Right below Nazis.
What
is the flag that mocks the Nazi flag?
Yeah, it's funny.
The fake oppressed country.
It's absurd.
Wow.
When Heritage posted about this earlier, they said it's 80 grants and $39.6 million taxpayer dollars later. This is what they've come up with.
Wait, how much money did they spend doing this?
$39.6 million taxpayer dollars.
Okay, Microsoft Paint is not that expensive.
It's too much. It doesn't matter. It's
I feel like any one of us could have put one of these together in like an hour.
They just have like the basic Nazi swastika there. Like it's just so basic.
What's the symbol above just the Fox News?
The American flag? I have no idea.
The
American Conservative Union
Foundation.
Yeah.
I see.
And the NRA is on here. Nice. Excellent.
Yeah, NRA. The NRA. Okay.
I like that. Also, I like that PragerU and TPUSA are like a step up from normal, right. from the NRA and Heritage Foundation.
Just one step closer.
Like, is there actually like a substantive, is there really that much of a substantive difference between what PragerU and TPUSA say and what like pretty mainstream Republicans say? I don't think so.
You don't understand because you're bigoted and backwards.
Oh, that's right. It all looks the same to me.
The genius.
You don't understand because you're Irish.
Yeah.
That's also true, yeah.
University of Dayton is the one who put this together. That's really good point, dude.
Does anyone recognize any of the organizations at the top of this pyramid?
But would you admit to it if you did?
No.
That's the Ukrainian one right there, isn't that? The
Azov? I don't know.
No, Azov, I'm kidding. It's not.
It's not. But why
aren't they?
I actually don't recognize any of them at all either.
You know what's really funny? Basically,
but I'm a Republican, so I'm the foundation of this whole thing.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what's really funny?
I have the command.
Literally.
One day, if you're lucky.
Only I can work my way up to knowing what those are on top.
You know what the fuck? Working your way up.
We come back in a year and you're like, okay, I'll tell you now. I'm
You're ready.
Dude, I love that the two groups at the bottom, like the Republican Party and Fox News, are probably the only subsection of this entire group that have some people who want money to go to Azov. All of the radical far.
I don't know. The fourth quadrant.
Sorry.
I notice how they're like oddly shaped. Like, what's up with that? Like, do they not know how to draw a pyramid or something?
No. $39 million later, they can't do
this. Well, yeah. I mean, look, they spent $39 million. They got some nice artistic
InfoWars and Turning Point on the same plane.
They're pretty. Look, they're indistinguishable.
That's good to know, I guess.
Charlie Kirk, Alex Jones. I can just tell them apart.
I love how Quillette is right next to InfoWars.
Right.
Congratulations, Claire Lehman. You're officially Alex Jones.
I like the idea that like Alex Jones is just a louder version of Charlie Kirk. Just a louder, like a deeper, voice. It's just like if you read the transcript, what they're saying is identical.
And then they have like, okay, is this supposed to be all Trump supporters, or is this a specific organization that uses?
Literally the MAGA hat.
Yeah. What is the MAGA hat? Is that like a letterhead, or is that they're literally all Trump supporters?
So I didn't see that.
You vote for Trump, you move up a tier.
That's a
MAGA hat. You're moving on up. Don't worry.
I'm already at tier two.
We got some audio to play.
Yep.
Oh, based.
To your question about what can liberals do, and I feel like it's a trite and you know, simple answer, but you can give money. That's always really appreciated. We have legal defense funds because we get in trouble. A lot of the things we're doing are illegal, right? What I'm telling you, a lot of it involves breaking the law. And this is what the FBI will say. I've had many conversations with the FBI about this.
He's a fed.
Go back to your question about what can liberals do, and I feel like it's a trait.
This guy's a complete fed. He's like, yeah, I break the law a lot, and then I talk to the FBI about it, and I haven't gotten in any trouble.
Yep.
Because
the FBI will tell you what I'm doing is illegal.
Because Antifa got smart, and they were like, let's join the FBI and take it over.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
Yeah.
Seamus, why aren't you in the FBI?
I'm busy.
What are you doing over there?
I'm busy.
Don't swat my paper.
These cartoons
airplane.
Aren't going to make
that was a really nice one, and it was going real slow.
No, yeah.
That's not what I threw at you.
What did you throw at me? There's so many paper airplanes over here that Tim's throwing at me that I literally picked up the wrong one.
Stop manhandling my paper airplane.
Oh, that was a nice one.
Yeah, that's right. I'm better than the FBI. No.
I make good airplanes.
You are. Not really.
Yeah, see, I make
I've never seen the folding the nose. As an Apache pilot, can you check the validity of these?
Yeah, it actually does a better job with Bernoulli's principle.
Okay.
Cool.
See that?
So
you gotta throw it right though.
I know.
What happens after this? We get this sweet pyramid. We're all shocked that this is what academia and DHS are producing, and then what happens?
All the right winger, we solved Nazism.
Oh, sorry.
We solved Nazism. It's over.
We disavow the top.
We can go home.
3-4 levels of the pyramid.
And then we're good to go home.
Yeah. We can go home.
We repent to the liberals and then we call it a day.
Exactly. Like, I love also that the idea that what a pyramid conveys is if you remove the piece from the bottom or the pieces from the bottom, it all topples over. So, like, if we just got rid of the Heritage Foundation, neo-Nazism would topple over tomorrow.
Dennis Prager is Jewish.
I know. Dude. Wild.
These people are psychopaths.
It's insane.
They are deranged cultists.
Wow. Yeah. And they're on a whole bunch of pharmaceutical medication.
What is AIM? Like AOL Instant Messenger? Did it get radicalized?
Where's AIM?
Right on the third tier. Right next to Daily Stormer.
American something movement?
Mm-hmm. I don't know
what this is. Generation Identity. Movement. Oh, right. Daily Stormer. The Keck flag being up here is the funniest
the stupidest
shit ever.
Thing I've ever
the
seen.
The Keck flag was a joke meant to mock the Nazi flag.
Yeah.
And the idea was they were an oppressed country. The Kekistanis was a fake identity to mock wokeness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, they're Nazis. They're literally making fun of Nazis, you
fucking idiots.
Yep.
Well, but they're a cult.
That's nuanced. They can't handle that. They also can't put a pyramid together. Mm-hmm.
I will pay you $39.6 million to draw one of these for the left.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's do it. If you will pay me that amount, I can make one of these. Do. I think I can. Look, I have a copy of Microsoft Paint, so that's
after Trump.
How about
$10?
$10. You're both making really compelling offers here, but I think I'm going to have to go with Tim's.
$39.
Hold on. I've got, what do we got in here? I got $5.
Hold on. Wait.
I got $5.
How did this go from $39 million to 10 to 5? No.
I said bucks, though, didn't I?
I guess we don't know what a buck is.
Chicken bucks.
Yeah, chicken bucks.
But that means I will hold you to account for that. I will make sure I get 39 million chicken bucks. And that's honestly going to be harder for you in the long run to produce in a tangible, legal way
because
than the money would be.
Chicken City is live 24/7. And I will just make sure everybody knows every buck you hear belongs to Seamus. Mm-hmm. Or
that means I get
$5.
That would mean I get all the revenue from Chicken City because people are tuning in for the bucks.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, I think you have the box, not the cash.
You think if the chickens didn't balk, people would watch Chicken City?
Bro,
you're a fool.
Chicken City is like our second most profitable show.
You're a fool.
Here, I'll throw in a liquid IV to this deal. What? Are you going to make it now?
Now we're
liquid
talking.
IV?
Yeah, it's like a supplement thing.
Now we're talking.
All right.
I got a better idea.
Where's the pyramid?
Hold on. Hold on a second. Let's sweeten the deal.
Okay.
So
it's gonna be great.
I'll also give you all of the gems on the inside of the table.
That's not yours to give.
Hey, you don't know that.
That's actually not yours to give.
I occupy this territory.
A new car.
I know what you're doing.
What are you talking about?
You're gonna give me a broken down car and tell me I have 30 days to move it. I've seen you do this
30
before.
30 days? I was gonna give you 24 hours.
24 hours. He's a nice guy.
I've got a 2006 Chevy Cobalt just needing to get moved off my property, and the best way to get it moved is to let someone win the car, and then, you know, they have 24 hours to get off my property, otherwise they're trespassing.
All right, look, the economy is in shambles. I'm having a difficult time.
If you get in a car.
I will take the money.
And an IV and $5.
Yeah, I'll take the IV and $5 in the car.
No, I'm going to keep the $5. I'm happier with it.
Whoa.
Well, I'm in for the liquid IV. I expect half a pyramid at least.
Okay, all right.
I don't care if it's the right side or the top two tiers. I just want to see part of this.
Deal was $10. I'm giving you $5. You do half.
I should have taken your offer, man.
You should have taken it.
This is the worst episode of Shark Tank I've ever seen in my life.
Trump is not impressed by your negotiating skills right now.
He will give you $5. He took it back. You're like, he'll take this $5 and do half a pyramid. This has been hilarious.
Liquid IV.
I'm holding the $5, and I'm happier with the $5. So,
No, I'm not. I really want to see Seamus's take on this pyramid, especially given that smaller size of group equals increased level of extremism.
You should put
I just want to know what you can come up with.
You should put Whoopi Goldberg's face on it.
Yeah, where?
And like,
where?
Joy, you know, Tim, Behar.
I think that view? Since you the didn't give me the $5, you don't get a say.
The top tier should clearly be Bud Light.
Yeah. No, but
drinking Bud Light should be one of these ones on the bottom.
Where is Target?
It's the foundation.
Shopping at Target, drinking Bud Light, and then
But you've got to put it next to like Stalin and like a sickle and hammer and like the Holodomor.
Oh yeah.
And then like Bud Light next to it and Joy Behar.
Dude, I love how they do this.
The worst.
Where they'll just take bad thing and put it next to innocuous thing, and then you're supposed to go, oh, innocuous thing is bad thing now. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I can't tell.
But I'm being serious. I feel like we do, like, to show someone on the left or even just a moderate person how ridiculous this is, you need to make a left equivalent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I were to say you watch CNN and then you're, I don't even know.
A communist.
Like, they need to see what the equivalent comparison is. Because I think people can't even identify most of these things.
But if you watch CNN, you are a communist.
That's true.
Dude, they say that communism isn't communism, right?
Yeah.
When you point out what Joseph Stalin did, they go, that's not real communism. But then they look at Fox News and they go, this is Nazism. This is what Hitler wanted.
And they turn it on and it's like Bill Hemmer being like, the stock market is down 3 points today on news that Joe Biden was traveling to Boeing.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh God.
Or Fox News was saying something like, we really need to support our allies in Israel. They're like, this is a Nazi channel. This is so wild. The anti-Semitism is rampant on Fox News.
Well, it was funny when Elad, our reporter, went to a bar and they called him a Nazi.
Yeah,
it's
I
like,
know.
He's Jewish.
They're like, what are you talking about?
What the fuck?
Elad does not hide that he's Jewish.
No,
I know. He's suing them for discrimination based on
his religion and race,
I think.
Yeah. He should.
There should be more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Good for him. He's going to come and talk about it at some point. We're going to see where it goes. Mm-hmm. But it's like this lefty bar that was like a bartender screaming at him that he's like a Zionist or something. So get the F out, you Nazi. And it's like,
Well, and when they contacted the bar, they were like, it sounds like you have a problem with the bartender, not the bar.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Dude, I hope he crushes him.
Yeah, he's
going to win. It's New York.
Yeah.
Imagine what would happen if they don't defend a Jewish man who was attacked at a bar for being a Zionist. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy.
It's wild.
And I think Elad's going to walk in here like... How much richer? I don't know. How much do you think he's going to get paid out from this? Let's start speculating.
How much are his legal fees?
Hey, Elad, I have a left-wing pyramid to sell you if you pay me.
More than $10.
I've already invested in this pyramid. I demand at least half of it to be produced.
You invested in half of it.
Yeah. Low.
I never said which half, though. Am I getting the top tier, the lower tier?
After Elad wins, he's going to carry on a little satchel of gold around his neck. South Park reference.
Yeah, true.
Because he'll be hell of a lot of money, you know? Because he'll have won it from... communists.
I hope he crushes. I hope he beats those communists. I'll be very happy if Elad does that.
Yeah. Let's I'll briefly bring this up because it's kind of related. It's kind of funny. Look at this woke California bank that caters to LGBTQ customers shutting down amid racism fraud scandal.
Can't so, make it up.
It says what is it? It's like Handmaid's Tale meets Queer Bank.
Wow.
Is that what the bank is called?
Wait, it's called
what is Daylight? Daylight, a US-based neobank. Exclusively catering to the LGBT plus community. Could you imagine like going to a bank and being like, I'd like to open a savings account? And they'd be like, and do you prefer sucking dick or eating vagina? And
you're like, prove it to us.
But it's just like, so I have Navy Federal, right?
Well,
and Navy Federal says that to become a member, you have to be in the military service or you have to be a family of or live with the person who is in the service.
Correct. That's correct.
And so it's like you go and you're like, you have to prove it and you have to like, you know, fill out the forms. This bank to me is like the weirdest thing ever to go in there and for them to say based on a protected category, they can deny or provide is insane. How can that even be allowed to
exist?
They
like lower your interest rate if your interest rate in them is high? Wink,
they
wink.
Deny is that what this whole trying to figure out someone's you sexual don't orientation have certain thing is? No. They deny you based on your orientation.
Okay.
That's illegal.
I just, but this also is, it's like,
this is insane.
And it's also so weird because.
Make this up though. Yeah, like,
nuts, but this is obviously woke nonsense. I mean, it's not like they did some kind of political or financial analysis. They're like, well, gay people just pay their loans off more often, so it's just less of a risk. We're sorry, straight guys, can't give you a loan. You take,
based on zero data whatsoever. Yeah,
zero data to suggest that this is actually a better client base.
We have seen over and over again. The left claims that they don't like police, then they call police against their enemies.
Yep,
they have no principles.
They say, we don't want hate speech, then they openly mock Christians.
Yeah.
They say, you shouldn't be able to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, and then they open this. A bank to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These people are evil fucking hypocrites.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they have no values. Well, this is what I always
say. Just power.
Leftism is social decay. That's all it is. Yeah. It's a person attempting to rationalize their failure to uphold their end of the bargain in living in a civil society, which is things that you don't want to do. Yeah, no, if you want the culture that you're living in to be maintained, you can't just sleep around with anyone and everyone, right? Because that's not good, because then you create children out of wedlock with someone, which creates all sorts of social programs. You know, you can't just not work. You can't spread sexual degeneracy. Whatever it is they're failing to do. These are all things. It's not as if left-wing people reach the position that these things are okay to do intellectually and then start living that way. They're living this way because it's easier for them to live that way because they just want to give into their passions instead of using reason. And then they create a rationalization for living that way. And we call that rationalization leftism.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the forces of entropy, the forces of decay, the forces of vice are repackaged in an intellectual sounding framework. And we call it leftism. That's all it is.
It's broken and warped people deciding the way our society should go. And
exactly.
I don't personally prefer that.
And by the way, it's an extreme minority.
Very extreme.
So we are literally catering to this 2% here.
Smaller but more extreme as you go up the pyramid.
It's unbelievable. So why are we doing it? Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
So why don't we just stop doing that? Because the majority doesn't feel that way. And again, now this is kind of what we were talking about earlier, you know, with the whole target issue being the trans target issue being a 75-25% issue. How about the 75% say no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you lose $9 billion. Ooh. And then that's when the 2% say, yikes,
yeah,
we can't do that anymore. We need more of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not just, here's the thing. It's not even 75-25, right? It's much smaller than that. When you look at the number of people who call themselves
It's much smaller than that.
Yeah,
I'm talking about that one particular issue is still the majority, overwhelming majority, don't agree with it. So why doesn't a majority speak up and say,
No.
Well, and so Aaron McIntyre talks about this a lot, but his basic argument is here is because that tiny minority has done such a good job capturing our institutions, if your average person tries to stand up against it, they're going to get crushed. So what conservatives really need to do is figure out either how to reclaim these institutions or build their own. I can't tell you what his prescription is. I think he said things about trying to reclaim them. I'm not sure if that's where he stands, but I think the general point is they're a tiny minority, but they're a frightening minority because they have so much power. And it's wild because, so if you look in the United States, the progressive left are 6% of the public.
Yeah.
Right? That's 6%. That's a very small fraction. And yet all of corporate America
is catering
to them.
To that.
Yeah.
Man.
And it's because they have all of
them. Firebomb you.
They'll firebomb you, but also I think what happened is they captured the institutions. So remember the lady from Bud Light who was talking about how their image was a little too fratty for her.
Yep.
She wanted something more open and more interesting and accepting of LGBTQ.
They don't buy
identities.
The product.
But this is the thing.
I've argued this repeatedly.
She was almost certainly radicalized in higher education by Definitely. Some know-nothing leftist professor
who
never operated in the real world.
Do you know where she graduated from?
Where?
Harvard.
Beautiful. Exactly. Exactly. And as Thomas Sowell once said, behind every Harvard
conservative.
Well, this is Thomas Sowell said this. It's like behind almost every disaster is a Harvard grad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to our callers.
All righty.
We will jump to the callers.
I want to talk to Conspiracy Ranch. That sounds cool. And
Let's
fun.
Go.
You have to unmute yourself there. We can come back to you.
We'll come back to you, Conspiracy
Ranch.
We'll
come back to you in a moment here. We'll talk to the average, I think, Vespasian. Average Vespasian. You are in the chat. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you, Tim and crew, for the discussions you guys have that, you know, a lot of other people don't. I think you guys do a really good job of touching on topics others won't for a whole list of reasons.
Thank you.
With that said, I am considerably right-wing. I am a Christian. First and foremost, and my question is for Seamus primarily, but also Tim. So being a Christian and having Matthew 28:18-20 in scripture, and I can bring that up if you guys want, but I'm pretty square in the Christian nationalist corner. I think the right's explicit, you know, live and let live attitude could only work in a society where they're was a religious foundation where everyone largely had the same expectations for what was acceptable. And in fact, I've seen a common trope of the typical conservative say something like, you know, I don't have a problem with insert some form of degradation, but just don't bring it around me or my children. So I don't think evil is ever satisfied in isolation. So I think it kind of perverts everything it's allowed to and just naturally makes it to center stage eventually. So I simply don't think you can hold the attitude of endorsing evil as long as it doesn't affect you because, you know, eventually it does, doesn't it?
No, so
I
would
wonder your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I want to respond to that. Firstly, I totally agree with all of that with one caveat. I've heard the phrase Christian nationalist thrown around by the media a lot as a kind of boogeyman term. I have no idea what it actually means, but I would certainly agree with you that evil is never satisfied being left alone to conduct itself. It has to corrupt what's good. And that's because ultimately that's what evil is. Evil is a corruption of the good. It can create nothing original on its own. It can only mock, and it needs to continue to mock.
I agree. And this is what's given me, I've had a political shift in the past couple of years over this that I think a lot of people have too. You see a lot of people either becoming religious or starting to talk about the country's need for religion. And it's because it's obvious that when you sever the country from its roots, which is Christian moral framework, you get absolute psychosis and cult-like behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need to have a moral framework. And my view of it is not that it's like a Handmaid's Tale style, like Christian theocracy or anything like that. It's
even Handmaid's Tale is not a Christian theocracy.
Right. Yeah. But not like an authoritarian theocracy where the left is trying to make everyone think it is. Mm-hmm. It's just like kind of how the country used to be 20 or 30 years ago, where people were all basically Christian.
I mean, I'd take it back further than that. But what's important to remember in, I'm not sure what, by the way, could you remind me of your name?
Average Vespasian Respecter.
Okay. So, What I would say is that part of what's important to remember too, and I'm not sure what sect you're from, but I know that in classical Christian thought and in Catholic thought particularly, there's this idea of subsidiarity, which says that that which can be handled by the most local possible authority should be handled by the most local possible authority. So the Christian framework is, yeah, I mean, there are certain things which when it becomes necessary, you absolutely need strong laws for, right? Abortion's an obvious one because that's actually murdering another person. But then there are things like artificial contraceptives and pornographic material. And I think that local communities are more than entitled to pass the laws that they feel need to be passed to prevent those things from rotting their society apart, even on that small state scale.
Yeah. Do you want to comment on this?
Yeah.
You looked excited by some of these comments.
Yeah, well, I would just say, well, that's called a republic. Actually, that's a constitutional republic. That literally is the whole point, to give as much power to the local municipality to make their own decisions for their own individual communities, which oftentimes tend to be more conservative than anything we could do at the global federal level. Mm-hmm. That's why we've always wanted to push it down to the communities to make sure that they get to choose oftentimes the most conservative way. Why? Well, because our communities have a certain church that you grew up in, there's a certain level of belief that you're surrounded by. You move to neighborhoods that are like-minded, and they tend to be more conservative, which is what we want to do, is empower the individual citizen.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. My entire foundation is based on Christianity. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, Greater Houston area. That's my foundation. I grew up in a Christ-centered foundation, and I think that's the center of a lot of not just me, but my family's success. Now, I can't say as a lawmaker, everyone has to do that, because this is a free country. What I think we should be talking about, though, is what are the values, and values come in all different shapes and sizes, but what are the American values that you were talking about to a second ago that are the founding and the foundation of this country that made us the most successful country in the history of the world? And are we regressing from the progress that we have made? The answer is emphatically yes.
And it coincides with our lack of church attendance. Yeah, yes. I think that's what we have a Thank hard time. You. I understand why this term Christian nationalism is something especially left-leaning media fears, because they want to say, oh, we're tolerant of all the different people in our communities and things like that. But yeah, we have to recognize that ultimately we were founded by Christians as a nation whose values are tied to Christianity. And I would rather live in a society where I can't force you to believe in God or anything else, but if we all agreed on common values, I think we would be stronger for it.
Ask Bill Maher which country he would rather live in, the American Christian nation or the woke leftist, more with you know, whatever, woke leftist nation.
You know what he's going to pick?
He's going to pick the Christian nation.
Of course
he is. Hands down. And he's going to be like, well, I don't agree with them. But, you know, he wouldn't have a few years ago because he didn't believe it existed.
Yeah.
Oh.
But my point is mostly this. If you can show someone pure leftism and you can show someone pure American Christian foundational morals, they choose the Christian foundational morals. I'll make it simpler for you. Which would you prefer, average American, waking up on Christmas morning with snow falling down in the streets, the music playing, singing Christmas song, presents there, and your family hugging, or a polycule with no religion, children singing songs and booty dancing? Like, there's no question. There's no question.
That's okay.
They're 6% of the people may be like, I want the weirdo polycule.
They are, but that's not the country.
People in this country dream of having a family Christmas. It's candle lit. The friends are coming over, you know, holidays, that kind of fun stuff. That's what Americans dream of.
Yeah, well, and I think we're headed for something really ugly in this country, because when you look at pre-Christian societies, there was a lot of ugliness. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're headed for something really worse. And it's not just because of our technological capabilities, and it's not just because of the fact that we can make our violence very clean and remove it from the public eye so it's more tolerable to people, but it's because I think what a person becomes once they have been Christian and then rejected Christ is often far more seriously worse than what a person was when they were ignorant of Christ in the first place and living in sin. I think that a society that loses Christ when they once had him is going to become more violent and decadent and disturbed than any pre-Christian pagan society we've ever seen.
My view is a little different from yours, because I wouldn't say Christ, but I understand what you mean. I think if there is a person who rejects their faith and becomes a leftist, they never really had that faith to begin with.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think you can lose faith. I believe you can lose faith. There are people who would agree with you. I think there are many Protestants who would agree with you. Many who wouldn't. But faith is a gift from God.
Yeah,
and
but I think
God doesn't owe you any gifts. He could take that gift away when you did have it.
I think when you develop this understanding of the nature or the understanding of God to even a small degree, you can't just lose that.
I think you can.
I don't, because to me, it's not a spiritual moment where you're like, I feel something. It's like wisdom and knowledge. Mm-hmm. And you don't forget that.
Well, remember the story of Samson, right? He lost his strength when his hair got cut, right? And he was also blinded. I mean, it's possible to lose your strength as a person of faith. And I believe that sin blinds us, and it can start very small, where a person just starts doing something they know that they shouldn't do, and then they end up moving down a path to even more hideous sin. And it blinds them from being able to see the reality of Christ, because you either live what you believe or you believe what you live.
So can I say something? And then in this country, we see the rise of podcasts like this. We see the rise of conversations like this that we weren't even having 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. We see the rise of young millennials stepping up and running for Congress, young Christian combat veteran millennials that are now running for office. Why? To bring our country back from the brink, because those values are still there, even though we are blinded and we are not seeing that because we're running away from Christ. Yeah. Here's what I mean. This is not our first rodeo in this country. Before I was born, there were the late 60s and the 70s. Yeah. And when combat veterans were returning home from Vietnam, they were being spat on by American citizens. Yeah. We don't talk about Berkeley in the late 60s and 70s. It was very bad, actually. It was horrible. It was extremely liberal. It was a liberal renaissance. And then what happened after that? We had Reagan and Bush for the next 12 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the heels of the degradation, moral degradation of our society. Mm-hmm. And why is that? Because brave patriots always step up and we say, okay, we've seen enough.
And
we are on the precipice of this right now.
You want to make one more?
Yeah, I just want to make one more quick point. I agree. So
is he still on the phone? Actually,
fundamentally, I
thought we were actually talking about something else.
I agree with what you're saying about the backlash, and this might be an unpopular opinion among conservatives, but this is one of the reasons that I don't think Reagan did enough, because I think electing Reagan the way the American people did after the sexual revolution was a referendum on all the cultural changes the left instilled, and he should have pushed things in as far in the opposite direction as possible.
No fault divorce
was a massive
mistake out of this country.
Exactly.
And you can talk about all the good things Reagan did.
Agreed.
But he set a time bomb.
What the American people were clearly communicating when he was elected is that they wanted to undo the reforms of the 60s and 70s. That's what I believe. And those reforms weren't undone.
Let's average. I think we went overboard with your question, but I do appreciate it.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. It was a good question, clearly.
Yeah, no, guys. Very cash money response. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for tuning in.
Nice. All right. Next up, we'll try and reach Conspiracy Ranch if we can talk to them.
Conspiracy Ranch, you there?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Nice. What we can hear you. How you doing?
Perfect. Sorry. Putting a toddler down. Tim Cass crew, just got a question, and thank you, Congressman, for coming down tonight.
Of course.
My brother just castrated himself about 5 days ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've been trying to ask for the last few days, how do I tell him to stay away from my kids? But that came to a head today when we clashed over him showing my wife a photo of his neo vagina.
Oh my gosh, dude. I'm so sorry.
And he kept referring to himself as aunt in front of my son. So I finally had enough today and pretty much told him he is no longer my family. Do not talk to my children. And I just don't think you can come back from chopping off your nuts.
Dude, I'm sorry. Were you
so
still...
It's all right, man. So my question is, my mother seems to not necessarily, she's taking his side, but more in the lines of the very libertarian that she doesn't just care. Why does it affect you kind of thing? And I just know where that leads. And I'm just wondering if I am to a point where I need to move on from my mother as well and try to be safe around my kids.
You know what I would ask my mother? If she saw one of my brothers castrate himself and asked me, how does that affect me? How doesn't that affect you?
How does that not shred you? How does that not tear you apart that your own child did that? I'm sorry. What's your? Can you give a first name or are you anonymous?
He's conspiracy.
Oh no, my name is Michael.
Michael, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. That is unbelievably horrible that happened to you. Yeah. If I could give you one bit of advice here, it would be this. And look, I can't imagine what it's like to be in your shoes right now. I really thank God for the family I have, the fact that none of my brothers would ever do anything like this. But what I would say, if I were in your position, and what I think a good thing to be could say, well, still maintaining these boundaries, I think you are absolutely right to not let him around your children. I absolutely think that is the prudent decision. And thank you for having the gall to do that, because we live in a culture where many parents won't protect their kids when that means being politically incorrect. But I will say, I would say to your brother, I love you. You are still my family. I think you're very confused. I can't let you around my children, because what I think you are doing is horribly destructive to yourself, and I don't want my children to make destructive choices. I still love you. I still care for you. That's why I have to oppose this, because nobody who cares for you could possibly tell you that that's a good thing to do.
51-50? Yeah. Commit them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's we live in Colorado, guys.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Not an option, yeah.
What is 51-50?
Thank you, Tim, because 2 years ago we sold our house, bought land in BFE, Iowa. We're building a house out there, chickens, and homeschooling, and tons of ammo.
There you go.
Dude, how can I ask you something? Like, how did it get to this point?
We're in Iowa.
Oh, to get someone involuntarily committed for doing something sick.
Imagine 20 or 30 years ago, if someone came and said they were going to castrate themselves.
Yeah, you'd
make a phone call to the sheriff and say they're threatening self-harm, and they would come and they would lock them up, and they would try and give them verbal therapy.
Yep.
And say, we are not going to let you do this. Mm-hmm. Something is wrong here. These days, they say, please do.
Michael, I got to ask you, and I'm sorry, I'll give everyone else the floor here in a second, but how did it get to this point? All right, this couldn't have been the first
year
step,
and a half
right?
ago, he had a friend up the street, and he did it as well, or was talking about doing it. And he and my brother actually had a conversation with my mother. And so she goes, well, would you ever consider that? And he goes, oh, no, that's too crazy. It took a year and a half for him to go from, no, that's too crazy, to snip.
Dude, I'm sorry.
How old is your brother?
The thing is, man.
It sounds like your brother may live at home.
So here's the deal. So he lives at home. My wife and I actually live here with our two kids in this home while we're building our house in Iowa.
Oh, boy.
But now after today and the blow up, we're packing up and I'm going to go try to find some $600 a month house to afford while we build our house.
Dude, good for you. So many people would make an excuse not to do that. So I really commend you.
And how old is he? How old is he, if you don't mind me asking?
Let's see. So he will be, he is 26.
Oh my gosh, dude. He's so young.
So young.
Does he have kids?
Yep. Nope, not anymore.
He never will. Oh, dude. Wow. Oh my gosh. That's horrible. I'm so sorry. Can I ask you something? Has he ever taken care of himself? Has he ever been out on his own, or has he only ever lived with your parents?
No, he has been out, but he has come back within 2 years every time.
Okay, dude. You're in my prayers, Michael. I'm so sorry.
Well, I think you're doing the right thing.
I appreciate it. We got a Catholic school in our town, and they're going to go there. We're not Catholic. I know, Seamus, but they're going to still go to a Catholic school.
Listen, you might not expect this from me. Be very careful about the Catholic school you send your kid to.
Yeah.
There's 130 careful. People in our town.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
you can round up all the Catholics, sir.
I would just say there are a lot of Catholic schools that really they're basically like woke public schools, but with a Catholic name.
Yep.
So I'd be careful.
There's some in Houston like that.
But God bless you, man. Yeah. I'm so sorry. And I don't know. Would you be able to give your brother's name so I can pray for him too? If you don't want to, please do not. But I'll pray for both of you either way.
I will give you his God-given name, which is Alexander.
Alexander. Michael, I will pray for your brother Alexander. I'm so sorry. You know what? I will ask a priest to say a mass for both of you.
Did we get to your question, or did we address it properly?
Yes, you did.
Right on, man. Well, anything else you want to add?
Guys.
No. Right on.
God bless you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best of luck, man. Thanks for calling in. That's
real life. Best of luck, man.
It's real life.
Yeah.
Dude, that's like when I think about this in a theoretical, it's one thing, but When you hear about it happening to an actual person, dude, back, man. That's hard to hear.
Yeah, and he's giving you his God-given name because, of course, his brother has now
changed his name.
Dude, that's... Like,
That like that actually like that like genuinely broke my heart.
Yeah,
I can appreciate that he's actually saying that he castrated himself, not saying that he quote unquote changed his sex, which is not a thing. But anyways, I digress.
It's like, do you guys have brothers?
I have a younger brother.
Can you imagine? No. Can you imagine if your
brother is
10 that?
Months and 8 days younger than me? He's my best friend.
Yeah,
I can imagine. I don't know what I imagine, dude.
I have a younger brother as well.
Is that 10
count
months?
Your blessings, guys.
Irish twins,
big time.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's what it's called.
Yeah. So really, really funny, real quick, when we were growing up, we were so close that everybody would always assume that we were just twins.
Yeah.
Oh, and wow. So we would always say in unison together, no, sir or ma'am, we're 10 months apart. Nah. So we were at the grocery store, we're checking out, and the lady goes, oh my gosh, are y'all twins? And we did a usual, no, ma'am, we're 10 months apart. She goes, oh my gosh. I was about five. I was five. He was four. She goes, oh my gosh. You're Irish twins. I started crying.
My mom said
we're black. I didn't know I was Irish.
You're like, that's a hate crime.
Oh my gosh. And she goes, oh no, you're still black. I'm just
you're like,
saying.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm not Irish.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being Irish?
Yeah, honestly, oh my gosh.
No, that's the proper response. Yeah. That's.
Yep, Irish twins. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't think I've met anyone closer than that actually yet.
That's like as close as you could possibly.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
No, dude, I met two guys born on the same day once. Wild.
Me and my brother are 18 months apart.
That's pretty close.
That's close.
That's about me and my brothers have like a
not
similar,
quite Irish twins.
But you're close. Yeah. That's close.
Yeah, me and my brothers were all born within 3 years and 3 months. So we're just like barely. Yeah.
So you're actually
let's USMC Burt.
Yeah, USMC Burt. What is going on? How are you?
What's going on?
Not much. Just talking about weird stuff, you know?
Yeah, my question's for the congressman. Okay. With all of the wokeness destroying our military, I see it every day.
Yeah.
And it hurts as a vet watching it happen.
Yes.
What can Congress do to stop the degradation?
So where this starts off, sir, from the very beginning, is it starts off with leadership at the top. It's just that simple. We have gone down a path to where we have taken out what it means to be a warfighting entity. And what warfighters do are we find bad guys and then we kill them. And that's it. End of discussion. We don't ask questions about what's your religion, what's your gender, what's that? No, that's not how that works. I went to West Point. It's the United States Military Academy, capital M. When I went to West Point, we weren't having any of these conversations, so we were a more lethal force. So now what you're seeing is a degradation on the world scale. You're looking at what's happening with Vladimir Putin in the Ukraine. You're looking at what's happening with Iran having a nuclear weapon and with China knocking on the door of Taiwan. And the reason why the world is behaving like this is because they're looking at our military being focused more on gender than focused on war fighting.
Right.
So your question is, what can we do in the halls of Congress? To be honest with you, at this point, not that much. We have got to make a change with the commander in chief and our leadership. And I guarantee you, this can go right back to the way it was very quickly. Now, the world has to understand that. We are literally giving up our world power. We're giving up our global reputation. We are seeing it on full display. If we want that back, you can't rely on Congress. We have to rely on the Vox Populi to vote in better leadership. Because the one thing I'm not going to do is use the power of the purse to defund the military. I can't do that because that makes it even worse. That exacerbates the issue.
Congressman, if I may,
go
for
ahead.
A second.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm just a lonely grunt, but
good.
Even I know that Congress has to authorize the promotion for a lot of our top leadership.
Yes.
So can't you guys stop promoting these far left officers to positions of power?
So here's the problem. Here's the problem, sir. So when these officers, and there's two in particular, I'm not going to name them right now on the show, they don't present themselves as being far left generals. They present themselves as being military practitioners and tacticians of their craft. And then when they get under a liberal leader, they then adopt the liberal behavior. Let's talk about the way Milley was under Trump, juxtaposed to the way Milley was under Biden. He was two different generals. Now, does he have the knowledge to be a good war fighter? Sure. But now he's adopting the leadership qualities of this current administration. And that's why it's going to hell in a handbasket. And by the way, if he steps up and says, no, Biden administration, I am not going to be a woke general, then he'll just find somebody to fill his role. And then we as Congress have to choose between a finite number of four-star generals. There aren't very many of them. And so we look at a four-star general that served maybe even as my general growing up, and they've been around for 30 years serving the country, and the only thing that they want to be is, you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, or they want to be head of the Army, Navy, you name it. It doesn't matter what that is. We don't have that many four-star generals to choose from. That's why whoever the leader is, whoever our commander-in-chief is so important, because then they will follow that leadership directive, not one of a woke administration. Keep in mind, the military serves at the pleasure of the president. That's it. That's our goal. That's it. The commander-in-chief is our boss, and that's exactly where it starts.
Unless it was President Trump, and then they just lie.
Well, some some lie, but not all of them lie. And then also, I will say this, too. When you start changing the tone of the country and we start realizing that our recruiting numbers are down tremendously, why is that? Because the people, the young 18-year-old that wants to go serve the country, they don't give a damn about gender identity.
Yeah.
They want to go fight. So then you dissuade them from entering the military, and then now we're having bigger issues. And then a country has to refocus the idea of what it means to be an efficient warfighting force. And I think we're on the precipice of this right now. Don't worry, sir. It's dark right now, but it's going to get better.
I just feel as though making promotions based on politics and having to cater to politics is a bad thing.
It's a fundamental problem.
Be done with a board.
It's a fundamental problem. Well, there is a board, but again, and I don't know how many 4-star generals there are, or 3 or 4-star generals there are, but there aren't many of them, and that's what we have to choose from. But then they follow the directives of that administration. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so we need to change this administration is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people feel that given. Way.
That's it, right? I mean, that's it.
As of May 26, 2023, there are 39 active duty 4-star officers in uniform services.
Put that in perspective. 39.
13 are in the Army, 3 in the Marine Corps, 10 in the Navy, 12 in the Air Force, 1 in the Coast Guard, 2 in the Space Force, and none in the Public Health Service Commissioned Corps, which makes sense to me. But
and that's what we got. That's it.
That's crazy.
But the good thing is this, even if you look at, you know, Lloyd Austin and Milley, these guys came up in the old school. So the way they were trained and what they know and how things were are way different than the behavior that they're displaying right now. Mm-hmm. So they know better. Right. They're just catering to their boss.
Yeah, because they want the position.
Bingo.
Yeah. The other fact that I'm seeing here is there have been 256 four-star generals in the history of the United States, which how many bureaucrats are in Washington
comparison? You got it.
It's crazy.
Well, was that satisfactory, good sir?
Yeah.
Right on.
Thank you for calling. You too. Thank you for calling, sir.
Thanks for calling in.
And thank you for your service.
You as well.
Yes, sir.
All right. Cheers, my friend. And last but not least, we'll talk to Xander. Xander, how's it going?
Good evening, Representative. It's an honor to speak with a man of your caliber.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
My question for you is, January 6th, that ended with a lot of political prisoners. And yep. I was wondering what you as a representative either are doing or planning on doing to help these American citizens whenever they need their rights the most.
So what we're finding out about January 6th, and the most disturbing thing that I found out a couple of weeks ago, was that they're not releasing some of the footage from January 6th because they had embedded amongst the population undercover FBI agents.
Oh, wow. What a shock.
What a shocker, right? The weaponization of the FBI, the ATF, the CIA, these three-letter agencies, or I serve actually on the Judiciary Committee, we're trying to get to the bottom of this. And I think we need to start from the bottom up, scrap every single bureaucrat possible, fire these people, figure out people that actually want to do the job for this country. This is a meritocracy, and hire them and get rid of all of them. That's actually what needs to start happening yesterday. In terms of the political prisoners that were literally meandering around the Capitol like I do and are currently serving in prison, they should be released yesterday. They should be released yesterday.
Completely. Amen.
End of discussion, which is actually the majority of them. It's actually the bulk of them. When I was growing up, sir, my dad had kind of a rule. You know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
That's right.
You know, you break the law, you go to jail. You don't break the law, you shouldn't go to jail. But by the way, if you choose to actually break the law, then you don't get to blame somebody else for a grown adult breaking the law. So when I look at a lot of people blaming President Trump and other people for grown adults that broke the law, well, that's not President Trump's fault. That's not the devil made me do it argument. That's utterly ridiculous. That's your personal responsibility. President Trump, during his round hall, during the town hall a couple weeks ago, said it perfectly. Look, there are some people that probably did some things that they shouldn't have been doing. Should they be deemed domestic terrorists, though, and detained for this long without due process? Of course not. That's ridiculous. Dude. Also, when you deem somebody a domestic terrorist, you take away their right to literally be a citizen.
Yeah.
So we have people that have basically committed murder that are being punished far less than basic trespassing.
Well, exactly. And if someone who is on trial for murder, if someone was on trial for murder and there was footage of them killing somebody and they were being treated as poorly as the January 6th defendants were, lefties would be crying about the human rights violation.
Yep. Yes.
A man shoved a woman into a train a couple
this
days
is,
ago.
I saw this.
And paralyzed her permanently, and she is near death right now.
Oh.
AOC hasn't said a word as far as I, to be fair, maybe she has. I didn't see it. Jordan Neely threatens to kill a bunch of people on a train, and three men subdue him, and she wants that guy locked up.
Yeah.
These people are evil.
They're evil. So you saw the shaman was released, right? Y'all saw that?
Yes.
He was released. Finally. So now
the guy who was, the police are on camera escorting
him through the Capitol. So actually there's some that didn't make the news. He was the highest profile one, but there have been actually a lot of people that have been exonerated. Actually,
the news is not talking about that.
They're not talking about that.
When they get convicted, they're happy to talk about it.
Yes,
when it could serve them to, when they go to apply for another job, to have their name next to an exoneration headline.
The shaman is the only one that we saw locally, but there's actually more.
Others, but there's many more.
There are many more that are still imprisoned that should not be in prison.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should get we should get this guy on the Culture War podcast.
We should.
That'd be cool.
Be good to talk to him.
Yeah. He's just walking around.
Yeah,
and they're trying to open the door for him, and they're like, then he just follows the cops. The cops bring him where.
And then what happens? Tucker gets fired.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just fascinating. It's fascinating to see what we're happening.
Well, so I think the one thing that needs to happen for these people is Trump gets elected.
Yes,
and then, it kind of sucks to say, hey, maybe in a year and a half, 2 years, there may be something that gets done about it. But I don't know that a 4-seat Congress.
No, we can't.
We can't.
But I can tell you this again, Jim Jordan, House Judiciary Committee. We have already had hearings about this. We are already raising attention to this. And that's actually what we can do, sir. So when we start talking about the actual footage and we start looking at people, this person didn't do anything. This person didn't do anything. And the lawyers are actually able to point that out. That's what we can do, is bring enough attention to the issue where people actually see the footage as to who broke the law and who did not. And then we can get those people that are clear bystanders released. Now, the next step is to get those that deserve due process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next step. And I think you're right, Tim. We're not going to get to that until
Trump could sign, just stamp, stamp, stamp. And I think his answer was good on the town hall. It's like, Don Jr. mentioned this, after Jan 6 went down, nobody had the details. Yeah. There's no way in a couple of weeks to figure out exactly what happened. And then by the time we figure it out, it's too late. So it's unfortunate, but I think Trump gets elected and he just goes stamp, 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 stamp.
Yeah, we'll go through person by person and it's over.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
Bumbling dotards who are just confused and the cops open the door for him.
Well, this is something we talked about on the show about a year ago. A man was actually ruled by a judge to be innocent. The judge dismissed the case. He said there's footage of him speaking to a cop.
And the cops fanning him in.
Yeah. And you know, I remember not long before that, the Young Turks was trying to dunk on you, saying, oh, Tim says people are innocent in this case when they saw glass was broken, as if a broken window in one part of the building meant everywhere all throughout the building knew that a window was broken. And then a court of law in Washington, D.C., not MAGA country.
I was right.
In Washington, D.C. says, You know, we cannot lock this guy up. Police let him in. We're not even giving him trespassing charges.
We've dealt with this. Trespassing requires a warning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Be it a sign or something.
Yes.
Here you have a public building with open doors and cops saying, come on in.
They're moving the barricades.
Yes.
So I wasn't in Congress at the time, and now I am. And then now when I look at the barricades and the level of security and the metal detectors and everything that I have to go through every single day,
yeah,
something smells real fishy.
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah. Seems crazy.
It's actually really weird. And at the time, even I didn't know how weird it was until I realized that my family cannot... I have basically, it's like a 50 cal round that's a pen. And one of my staffers tried to bring it up to my office and he almost got tackled. Wow. Entering Longworth by the Capitol Police. Wow. And I'm like, so wait a minute. He couldn't get to my office, yeah, and then yet thousands of people were just gallivanting around the Capitol and nobody yeah doing anything about it. Like, yeah, that's actually super weird, by the
it
way.
It is. It is.
Incredibly
that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nancy Pelosi like said they didn't need extra support, remember? Which, I mean, the mayor of D.C. also said, no, we don't need any.
After President Trump called them and told them that I'd be willing to send the National Guard, and she said, no, that's really weird.
Which is a weird thing for someone planning an insurrection. It's really weird for someone planning an insurrection. It's really remarkable to me that the person who was planning an insurrection was in charge.
Offers the National Guard.
This is the man who is in charge of the United States military, and the way he's going to throw a coup is by dog whistling to a bunch of boomers that they should walk inside of a building without shooting anybody, without bringing guns or weapons.
Also, how many rallies had President Trump had amongst these same boomers where they've been completely peaceful and nothing ever happened?
Yeah. Interesting.
A lot.
You get
Ray Epps in the mix, like, and all of a sudden.
Like all of them.
Yeah, all of them. Literally all of them.
Like all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many peaceful Antifa rallies were there?
Yeah. Xander,
like
I think
none of them.
All of them are peaceful. Exactly. Stop asking questions.
They were all mostly peaceful.
Like, Xander, was that satisfactory? Is there anything you wanted to add?
Absolutely. Last thing I wanted to add was thank you for taking the time to talk to us, the people, because I believe podcasts like this are the best way to connect and get your head to the ground to hear what the normal people are saying. And for a representative such as yourself to be able to come on here and actually hear what we say and ask the questions and answer them firsthand, it helps us to feel more connected that we can make a difference.
Yes, sir, you are making a difference. Also, and I've learned a lot today. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Yep. Cheers. Appreciate it. And forward the line. I agree. Hold the line.
And I'll just say, you know, I think you're fantastic, Congressman.
Thank you, brother.
I'm impressed with your willingness to talk to people, come on a show like this. We have a handful of members of Congress who are willing to do it, but it's a white pill moment to see politicians like yourself or people who weren't politicians becoming politicians, especially with your military background, because it's giving me hope.
Well, why's it gotta be a white pill, man? Why can't it be black pill?
Because black implies. Really
messed up, I'm just kidding.
Wait, hold on. You know why does black imply that?
Can I joke? Can I joke here?
But let's ask him. Why does black imply that, Tim? I don't understand.
Tim, I'm sorry. I couldn't let it go.
I didn't make it up, Seamus.
Wait, hold on. Hey, excuse me. What was wrong with being told you were Irish?
I'm sorry. You cried at being called Irish.
Which one's the Irish pill? Is that a good one? Is that a bad one?
No, I totally get it.
No, yeah, yeah.
And I appreciate that.
The more we are able to look, we've had some politicians in the past and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
like you can tell it's like they're going to give you the canned response. They're going to try and play it safe. It's going to be not as funny. I'm impressed with some of your answers. So I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, brother. Well, anytime. Let me
know. And this is the thing. Usually I don't have a very good sense of smell, but usually when there's a politician in the building, it's like, like there's one of them here. But when you were, I had no forewarning.
I don't know. When this guy Seamus came upstairs, he's like, I smell military service.
Where is he? No. I was, yeah. But no, it was honestly awesome having you on, man.
Yeah, man.
Happy to do it.
Really do appreciate it.
Y'all talk to the people. And if you have a politician, especially in our party, that isn't willing to come on here and talk to the people, then
something's off.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
So thank you all for having me.
Thanks for coming on. And for everybody who's a member, you guys rock. Thanks for calling in, submitting questions. Thanks for being members. And we'll be back tomorrow. But the next members only, of course, is Monday. So thanks for hanging out. We'll see y'all then.